someone has already done and is already doing what you want to do. And no, they didn't fall into a rich family to do so. They were not born lucky. You know you can be more. You can have more, do more, and be more. You know this. You wouldn't be listening otherwise.
Hey, you guys. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Millennial Market Talk. And I am your host, Mark Jones. And this is the show that we empower and not entitle. This episode is very, very special to me. I have a friend from many years ago, Austin Pantuso, who's joining us today. Hey, Austin.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So this one, being that I'm so comfortable with our guest, I'm going to do a little something special at the beginning, because this is a millennial show, so it should be about us, right? I want to play millennial trivia.
Oh, gosh.
With a millennial.
Okay. It depends on what it – okay, go for it. You shoot.
So I've got 10 questions for you.
Okay.
And then out of 10, we'll see how many you get right or wrong, okay. And obviously percentages, right?
Okay.
Okay, so starting with number one, which of the following are not a move in the DJ Casper's cha-cha slide? Okay. Freeze, Vogue, Charlie Brown, or Crisscross?
I honestly have no clue, but I'm going to say Vogue. So
you would be correct.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Good. One for one.
Crisscross. Crisscross.
As I said, I have no clue on that one, but at least
now
I can guess right.
Now let me see you clap. So.
Okay, yes. Okay, got it. All right, next.
Okay, number two. Which way do you swipe on Tinder if you like them? And before you answer, I asked Kristen last night, and she got it right. So neither one of us
left,
have ever had
left.
Have you ever had Tinder?
No.
I've never had Tinder.
No, never tried it.
But everybody says right. You swipe right.
So you swipe right if you like them.
Yeah.
Okay. Right if you like them. Okay.
Yeah, let's see if Austin's really a millennial. Okay. Here's number three. Complete this sentence. I'm in a glass case of.
Ooh.
I'm in a glass case of.
Of air? I don't know.
Emotion. That is from the greatest movie ever, Anchorman.
Okay, I should know that. And I've seen Anchorman a bunch of times. I should know that.
Here we go. Here's another one. Name two things that have layers. I will start. Ogres. Ogres have layers.
Why would you say ogres have layers?
I don't know. Finish this. Give me two things that have layers.
That have layers?
Yeah.
I would say cake.
Cake?
So, yeah. That's what I say. Well, that's what came to mind.
Well, you'd have gotten that right. So, okay, keep going. One more.
That have layers. The sky. I don't know. You're going deeper. You're going deeper with it, huh?
So the answer to that was parfait and onions.
And onions. How am I missing this? How's this going?
You remember the movie Shrek?
Yes.
So
yes.
The little donkeys.
Yes.
Bouncing around.
Yes.
And he's talking about how ogres have layers.
You're talking about Shrek 2 when they're the baby donkeys out, which I think is Shrek 2 or Shrek one of those, which I watch with my kids quite often.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I missed that one too. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, let's keep going. This one you may get. I didn't get this one. What does the acronym ROFL mean?
Rolling for laughing.
Boom. Okay,
yeah,
you did
that
get
one.
That. That was millennial.
I know that one. Yeah.
All right, number six. Fruitopia was a type of cereal, snack bar,
drink.
Okay, you got that. Good deal.
Uh-huh. I remember.
Okay.
And on the lids, they had stuff on the lids.
Yeah, trivia.
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 Like, yeah, there you go. Okay, go for it. I remember.
Okay, so this one you should get. The lead singer of Nirvana was who?
Kurt Cobain.
Okay, very good. And number eight, name three songs by Eminem.
Real Slim Shady. I know.
Come on.
Real Slim Shady. The 8 Mile song.
Okay, 8 Mile is a song.
Right.
By default.
And then, by default. And then I'm a Soldier.
That's okay, there you go. Yeah. Boom. Cool. All right, number nine. Who played the Joker in The Dark Knight? Jared Leto.
No.
Joaquin Phoenix.
No.
Christian Bale,
no.
Or Heath Ledger?
Heath Ledger.
There you go. Yeah. All right. And the final.
Best Joker of all time.
And I agree with that. I really do.
Yeah. By far.
Greatest actor. I mean, God. Talk about.
Incredible acting. in that movie.
Things I Hate About You. Do you ever see that?
No. Okay, so I haven't ever seen
that. What a great movie.
But isn't that like...
People are going to make fun of me. Yeah, people are going to make fun of me because I just said that.
So at least I can
say... I'll never take it back.
I have a reason why, but... And I know it's a good movie.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot about it, but no, I haven't seen it.
All right, so our 10th and final question. Millennials most likely will have a bill this month from which of the following? A new subscription, a mortgage, or student loans?
I'm going to say student loans.
And you would be correct.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
Student loans. Yeah, that is sad. Yeah.
That is sad.
That's going to be an issue a little bit later, a couple years, I think.
Turns out Austin Pantuso is about 70% millennial.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. Not
well, you got to figure, we're kind of at the cusp, right? Or right at the start.
Yeah, I would agree.
Of millennials. So we're a little bit, we're like right teetering on the edge. So we get a little bit of both. This is not bad, and that's a good thing.
I like to call it, we grew up with our parents.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
They were in that
cusp. Boomers.
Of, yeah.
Boomers,
so we got a lot of their education and act right, so to speak, from them.
Yeah, and people, like, I think millennials, they hate on boomers a lot, right? They blame boomers for the reason why we're in our current situations. But I can't really blame boomers for where we're at right now.
I agree that that does take place, but I also would go as far as to say that it's a cyclical thing.
Sure.
Each generation blames the following generation.
I think so.
And the following generation, or the previous generation, then kind of knocks the...
Kind of like the presidency.
Right. No politics on here.
I know, no politics, but I'm saying that's usually the general trend, right?
You
blame the person that was...
So to speak.
Lost. Yeah.
I mean, that's really how it rolls.
Yeah.
So guys and gals listening, tuning in, didn't get a chance to introduce who Austin is, but I'm going to do so now. Austin Pantuso, great friend of mine, but also the owner and broker of U.S. Realty Pros.
Yeah.
Started off as a realtor. And worked his way into a broker as well as now investing himself personally.
Sure.
So that being said, I kind of want to talk about where you came from, Austin. I know where you came from, but they do not. So tell us where you grew up, how you grew up, and then let's transition.
Okay, and just to clarify, so I'm not the sole owner. It's my father,
correct.
Right?
Yep.
He's our principal broker.
Absolutely.
He's been doing it for 37 years, going on 38 years now. So, grew up in Helotes, really, right? In Helotes. Right?
Absolutely.
Right? Really lived on about an acre and a half with just my dogs and not too many people around, you know, like one really good friend that was about a mile down the street and was kind of, you know, living, it was podunk at that time, you know. We had to drive 20 minutes in to go get groceries in Leon Valley from Albertsons, you know. And there was a little Handy Andy over there.
Absolutely.
And car washes were free.
Who remembers Handy Andy in San Antonio and surrounding? I think it was just in San Antonio. Maybe in Houston as well.
It might have been some surrounding cities.
Because Kroger ended up buying them or something.
Kroger
like that.
And Handy Andy, that was like, you know, that was a big deal. That was a cool place to go. It was a little store, but you can go get your stuff there, you know. So, and then HEB monopolized everything, took it over. And they do it great. You know, they do it big and they do a good job.
But, I agree with that.
Took it over, which happens in a lot of businesses, right?
It's very true.
So one company comes in and they do it way better than everyone else, and they just completely take over. Yeah. So.
They create a monopoly and it's going.
Until something breaks it down or something else new comes. I got to break off on something here just since we're talking about
already?
That. Sure. Already, really quick. I know this is kind of a tangent.
No,
so
let's go.
My question is, what happened to eBay? Where did Amazon do better than eBay? Right? That would be a good example
That's
of where you never
question.
Would have thought that a company like that would have been over forefront, did so well.
I tell you this. eBay is intended for a different audience.
Like what?
And,
what audience?
And essentially, so eBay came to be, it was not necessarily a retailer as much as a personal sale to sale.
Sure.
Meaning
sure.
kind of like an Etsy, so to speak. Yeah. I used to use a lot of eBay.
That's what everyone
used. In fact, I sold cars on eBay.
Yeah.
Toyota Bernie, I started the first eBay internet or national eBay store for the cars.
That eBay Motors.
eBay
Motors, yeah.
So I think what has they're still, I mean, eBay is doing well. I recently went on eBay and bought a couple of things. Yeah, absolutely.
It's still not
genuine, real.
Not like Amazon, though, but.
But you can't, and I'll give you an example of what you can buy on eBay that you can't buy on Amazon. Two examples.
Okay.
One, you can't buy a real Louis Vuitton bag, so to speak.
You can on eBay, but you can't on Amazon?
You cannot on Amazon.
Oh, really?
Right.
Okay.
And not why to that? My knowledge. I mean, Lindsay, maybe you can check that real quick for us. jump on Amazon. Yeah, I don't think you can.
Because they don't endorse big brands or what?
They're not secondhand sellers.
Sure, but you're saying eBay because it's coming from an individual.
Correct.
That's
an individual that builds up their reputation
with
positive sales, et cetera.
Sure, sure.
For example, eBay Motors. You can't buy a car from Amazon.
No.
Yet.
Yet. Well, you can do almost everything already. You can do prescription drugs. You can do all kinds
everything.
Of stuff.
Everything.
Right there about
monopoly.
To that market. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, okay.
So back to you.
Back to me.
Back
okay.
to you.
So
you can?
You can.
Okay. Never mind. You can buy that on there. How about a car? Can you buy a car on Amazon yet?
I don't think you can buy a car on Amazon.
That may be the only difference.
I don't think you can.
Okay, so back to Austin Pantuso, because I know he doesn't like talking about himself.
Not often, not much. Okay, so anyways, grew up on an acre and a half, podunk, really just my two dogs out there, right, and my dad, and lived a pretty laid back, very fun, fulfilled childhood that I was very blessed to experience a lot of things and not have a lot of the craziness going on that a lot of people do have going on in their life. Not that there weren't hard times like everyone has, but yeah, I mean, was very independent and kind of did my own thing and spent a lot of time doing independent things, taking care of myself and,
You grew up in a single family household?
A single family household from the time I was very young, like two years old. Yep. And, my parents were both still involved.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong, but they were also fairly young when they had me. And then, by no means were we like extremely well off or anything, So, hard came from a hardworking family, that worked really hard, like my grandparents, and then, watched my dad do it and my mom do it and, my other family members do it and then kind of followed suit after a while. Took a while for me to catch on, but yeah, and then followed suit and, learned from them. But yeah. I mean, pretty humble,
Absolutely.
Like I said, laid back lifestyle. We did travel. We did do things like that. We experienced, I would say I experienced probably more just some of the opportunities that I had, just certain circumstances than a lot of other people got to experience, like traveling and things like that.
Sure.
At a younger age, just because that's what we did.
And that's what your family put value into. Mm-hmm. It wasn't things. It was
experience. It wasn't things as much. Yeah. It really wasn't. It was more experiences, which to each his own. There is no right or wrong.
Agreed.
Right? So
agreed.
To each his own. Hopefully, whatever you aspire for, you can have both.
Absolutely.
So
you growing up in the single family household, both parents were working. What did your parents do for a living? So that they can just want to give a perspective of
My mom went into nursing and she was a nurse for like over 20 years, RN nurse. And she would move fields a lot because she wanted to change it up and keep it fresh and new. But it would always be in something like with nursing. And usually in San Antonio, you clearly don't have trouble finding a job anywhere in Texas and when you're in health, So it worked out really well for her. And then my father, like I said, was in real estate from day one, even to now, semi-retired. But, he paved the way for us, for people like us. And that's what I tell even our agents now, we don't realize how good we have it. We have it so incredibly good, not just with how hot the market is. I mean, he was going through the 80s when interest rates were like 18% and stuff. That's crazy.
And homes were still selling.
And homes are still selling.
Right.
Yeah, at 18%. But imagine an 18% interest rate. That's just absurd. Yeah. So what are the caps on rates now for standard conforming loans? How high can you go?
Exactly.
And do you know the answer to that? Isn't it like 13% or something is like the highest you can go? I mean, on standard conforming loans or like whether they cap them out? Do you know the answer to that?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not aware of a cap, so to speak.
I believe there is.
On our side, in regards to pricing, we can't overcharge a borrower anything.
Sure.
So
sure.
When it comes to, and this is good for, this is a good question for those to know. In the mortgage industry, and that is my expert industry, is when you are pricing a loan, each mortgage company has the same way of pricing. We all have to price at par, whether that is charging the borrower to make up to get to par, or if you're over par, those funds actually go back towards the borrower's closing cost. There is no keeping of the funds as there was prior to 2008.
Two.
Yeah.
Two.
2008, 2009, I mean, it was a free-for-all back then. And luckily, I was blessed to not get into the industry until after that.
And I got in like right before.
Yeah, so I had known no other way.
But if I'm correct, and you can check on this and maybe you can let your viewers know because it's important.
Yeah.
I believe after the bubble happened, the feds did regulate a max interest rate. And I think it's 13%.
Well, what they do now is they run what's called a high cost test. And essentially, if you are charging a borrower over the national average based on their credit score and the type of program, then you can't do the loan.
Sure. And that's how it should be.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
That's how it should be. Prevent people from getting taken advantage of.
And what it does is it puts everybody on the same playing field. So when people are out there, for example, selling in lowest interest rates, we all have the same rates. So essentially it puts those in that bucket of all you're selling is rate versus service and all the other things that come with us as the buyer choosing to go with you, your company, and what
service and lender fees, right? Those are going to be your two big factors.
And lender fees at the same time are going to be the same. I mean, they're going to be the same across the board, unless you're dealing with, for example, a veteran type mortgage company. But even still, it's in their pricing.
True.
I mean, you can't sit here.
Some way in the pricing with
exactly. You can't with those rates. Correct. You can't sit here and say that we're not charging you any fees, but we're still in business and our lights are on and we're thriving. That makes zero sense.
And that makes sense. Yeah.
So
What if they're servicing the note?
Still, same concept.
They're making the money on the long run instead of the short.
Even if they're servicing the note, they're fronting all this money to pay commissions, to pay for lights, to pay for all of your expenses. Both the fixed and the variable expenses, you've got to be able to sell some of it.
And it does make sense.
Lenders that service their own loans still sell loans on the open market.
On the secondary market.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So what you're trying to say is there's some kind of even playing field involved.
Correct.
And that makes sense. And I don't want to go off all like that.
But it's all in the way that people are marketing it, so to speak. I mean, you can market it one way or another, whatever works to your advantage. I like to just be honest. So I coach and mentor the loan officers to do the same. So,
the same thing.
I mean, good.
Honesty
good
is the best policy.
I agree with that.
It is. It really is. Okay. But yeah, not to go off too much on a tangent.
We are probably going to go off on plenty of tangents.
Yeah, a lot. Of those, but okay, so back to how good we have it. I mean, I remember when I was little going with my dad to some appointments, and there was no GPS, right? There was no cell phone. We had this big green Mapsco book that you would bust out, and you would look through the book, and you'd have to go by the streets, and you know, the street's coming up, it should be right according to the map, the turn here, right? And it was this big grid, and you got to find out where the home's at, and then you set an appointment. Right. And you're hoping that they're going to show up, because if they don't, there's really no way to get a hold of someone unless they're at home. Right. And then they've been in pagers, beepers.
Yep.
Right. And beepers was like your next step to some form of communication outside of your landline, your home line. But I mean, we have it so easy now. I mean, it's so easy to schedule an appointment into GPS and super key access and, lockbox combos. And I mean, even the lockboxes back then, they were old school, you know.
They're like your locker
at school, you know.
I remember, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, we have it really good now. Technology has brought us a long ways to a fast paced market that you really have to be, in tune with, and you have to keep up with, because if not, you're going to get blown away by the other agents who are, involved with that. And that's why I think a lot of boomers, right, that would be the term, or older agents, when they can't keep up with the technological advances that are going on, they tend to struggle. And
now that concept that you're using, that theory for real estate, could it not be used for just about every industry that's out there?
Yeah.
I mean, my theory is, and it is one of the reasons why the vision of ReviewMyMortgage.com came to be 3 years prior. It was, we saw the writing on the wall. We saw the fact that technology was going to speed up. People were going to eventually do most things from home. I mean, you've got Alexa that's ordering things for you. Yeah. And nowadays, when you jump online, it's not really what you're searching for that you end up buying or landing on. It's what they put in front of you. But at the same time, that's exactly what you wanted to be in front of you.
Yeah.
So seeing the future, and I think what ended up happening is coronavirus ended up expediting that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it took a 10-year period and just sped it up into a year.
It did. It really did, yeah.
So you had companies that were working on technology to replace certain positions in the workforce eventually, and they basically had to start implementing them now. It was the test period.
Sure.
So once they realized, wow, they're working – and it's cutting costs and everything else, I mean, it's time to leverage and parlay that into more. And that, I mean, in every industry, in my opinion.
Sure, sure. I mean, I think it's still really early on to see how well all that's going to go. I mean, obviously, people will adapt and evolve and have to conform to whatever the new norm is. But some people work better in an office than at home.
Agreed.
Where there's no distractions.
But the same concept of a cell phone, and this is wrong person to talk to about this, but when the new cell phone comes out, and I'm the same way, I don't need to get the new cell phone, the next best thing. As long as this one does what I need it to do, it's fine. And that's probably like the parent in us, from our parents. But you don't, hey, Austin, did you see they got a new flip phone? You don't go back to that.
No.
You know what I mean? You're always moving forward.
It's true. But also, time is important. And just transferring over your contacts and everything to a new phone, it's hours, you know, and like making sure it has everything that you needed to do. It's hours. So
Austin and I think very similarly when it comes to time. Our time is very valuable, and we try and fit so many things in one day. And that's what we're going to eventually talk about after we get off of some of these tangents. Mm-hmm. So we'll bring it back. So growing up, having a father that was in real estate, mother that was in nursing, seeing them both work hard, giving you a pretty good life, what obviously maybe your father, but you, I mean, where did real estate come from, you know?
I didn't want to do real estate.
Okay, tell us about that.
Yeah, I didn't want to do real estate when I first got in. My first, if I had I'd say back then my first choices were either like a fighter pilot for the Navy or the Air Force, which sounds crazy because who doesn't watch Top Gun and then want to be a fighter pilot, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's about to happen again when the new one comes out, right? When you're going to get all these young guys wanting to do something like that, and gals and girls, right? They both do it now, so, which is great, you know, which is awesome. So, I mean, that was kind of like, or either that or believe it or not, a psychologist or psychiatrist was, because I really like psychology. It's
the study of the mind,
how people think and why they do what they do. So that was kind of it. And then
I just call that sales
to an extent, right? Yeah, a little bit of sales, but knowing even deeper than that, it doesn't have to be necessarily buying a product. I want to know why people operate the way they operate,
makes sense.
So their MO, right? That's what they say. So, and then I waited tables for like 7 years, a long time, right? And, I didn't really have a fallback. Yeah, I have college education, but I didn't really have like a good fallback to go to. And I didn't really know what I wanted to do. Like most people at that age don't, right? Especially, I would say now more than ever are people getting farther out in their life through their lifespan and not realizing really what they want to do yet or stuck in limbo. And that's where you hear, you know, a lot of the cliches about millennials still living at home, right? We get beat up on about that, right?
And then
we blame it on the economy, the government, or parent, whatever it may be.
Matter of fact, there's a statistic that I just read a moment ago, and it was like daunting. I was like, whoa. Let me pull this back up because it was – and it is a true statistic. Okay, a third of the U.S. adults aged 18 to 34 live at home with their parents.
That's crazy.
A third.
That's crazy.
That blows my mind.
Yeah, that's insane. And I think, in all honesty, there is factors that come into play that prevent people from being able to get out of their home, right, from the government. But then again, I also look at those as excuses, and that sounds really harsh.
Harsh is the truth. Sometimes the truth is harsh.
So
that's okay. We want the truth on this show.
And I hate to go
and off nothing but the truth.
The truth.
Millennial trivia. What movie was that from?
A Few Good Men.
There you go.
Yeah, so
one of the best.
Yep,
sorry,
I know that one definitely. So back to it. I think that yes, there are factors that may be stacked up against us now more than in the past for other generations, but it doesn't mean that you can't break out of those norms, those social boundaries, and be whatever you want to be and be awesome.
I mean, what kind of factors would you think that are holding a millennial back from, you know, that's a good
No promo here by any means. No. Have you ever seen the show called Most Expensivest? Have you ever seen that show?
I have. It's outlandish.
It's with 2 Chainz, right?
Yeah, it's outlandish. Okay. On Netflix?
It's they had it on HBO or something, I think, to start off, right? Okay.
And I haven't seen too many. And I was like, this is silly.
It's crazy, right? It's crazy, right? So, but he's interviewing this guy, and the guy sells air, right, out of these cans, right? So, and he's like, yeah, we bottle them from, like, Hawaii and the Himalayas, and it's the most fresh air that you can get, right? And they're like $50 a can.
It's ridiculous.
And you get like 10 breaths or something like that. It's something absurd, right? But at the end of the show, he goes, man, if you can't make money, you know, doing something in America, there's something wrong with you. That's kind of what his saying
was. I agree.
This guy's over here selling air.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
and not everyone out there needs to be entrepreneurial. It's just the mindset, and I think that has a lot to do with everything that we do is the mindset that we have. We went down a certain road and discovered, wow, there's no boundaries as long as I'm continuing to produce, as long as I'm continuing to find new ways to reinvent myself, and to never give up. I'm going down the path, and I read another statistic, and I don't really like statistics because they're only as good as the person or the people that you're getting them from.
I think that, and I mean, I'm all about stats and statistics. I think it's huge. Like that's what we set our baseline off.
Sure.
You know? So I think that's big. I think that it's really easy to get caught up in your day to day and then get obviously in a negative slump, right? Which a lot of people do.
So out of I think it was 100 millennials that they tested, only 20% tried again at what they started to complete it, meaning 80% gave up, and went another route.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's surprising, but you think about it and you go, oh, wow, that makes perfect sense.
I think it has to do with kind of what you're hardwired to do and then also what you got to train yourself to do. Like me, no matter what I'm doing, I like a challenge. I don't like for it to be easy. If it's not easy, it's not enjoyable for me. Or sorry, if it's easy, it's not enjoyable for
me. That's correct.
I don't really enjoy doing it. You know, where some people, they want it easy, like the whole way through, super, super easy and then to be done. But I don't know how you can feel like you've accomplished something if you weren't challenged or pushed or had to at least use something out of your norm.
Right.
But for some people, it's like that, and to each his own, and different strokes for different folks and whatever floats your boat, right? So there's nothing really wrong with that. But I think that you've got to constantly be challenging yourself and having challenges and overcoming those challenges if you're ever going to grow, because if not, you're going to stay in the norm. And it goes back to, have you ever heard the saying about the crab, right? Like a hermit crab. They don't actually break out of their shell to a new shell until they grow past it, right?
That's right.
That's exactly how they do it. So, and that's usually the analogy that they use.
Getting uncomfortable.
You got to get uncomfortable, right?
And essentially, it's not just a millennial thing. It's just a people thing. Once you get to the point that it's uncomfortable, you tend to what? Turn back around.
Yeah.
And if you can push past that comfort zone, and you're like, let's call it a bubble, boom, you pop out of it, and you look around, and you go, oh my gosh, I'm out of the bubble, I'm out of my comfort zone, I'm getting used to my comfort zone, and now that becomes you.
Yeah.
So what do? Yeah. You keep pushing that comfort zone further and further out. Almost the same concept of us as humans in discovering, okay, the Earth is flat, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we never fell off, and then what are those? Those are stars. Okay. Then are we the only ones? We don't know, but there's another planet out. And the further you continue to seek out, it expands the possibilities of what we know to be true.
And your perspective.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Perspective is everything.
Perspective.
I mean, you only know what you know.
It does. It does. It really does. I mean, we're creatures of habit. That's what my dad taught me, you know. And most people are just, they're happy when they're comfortable, right? And they don't want to be uncomfortable. And like you said, you got to be uncomfortable in order to grow to that next step, if that's truly what you want.
Correct.
You know? And a lot of people will say, it's what I want, but then they're not willing to do what it takes to get over there, you know? And by no means, I mean, that you have to, like, kill yourself or do something that's stupid or way, 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 way out there to do this. You just got to be better than the next guy.
That's true. Know? These days, in order to be extraordinary, and I said it, you just have to do the little extra. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing how little you have to do to be good at something.
It's true. And one bite at a time. You don't have to do it all at once. One bite at a time is what you do.
That's awesome. So, I just use that. Yeah. How do you eat an elephant?
Yeah, one bite at a time. One bite at a time.
Take one step, you put it in front of the other, and then you get past that step, and you go, okay, let me do it again. I was listening to a podcast, Real AF, and they had interviewed a Army veteran who had passed pretty much every single training course, and they asked him, was it hard? And he said, no, not really. And they, well, obviously it's got to be hard because you went through it and everybody fails out and all these other things. And he said, well, the way that I look at it is I'm putting my goal at the next thing that I have to do in order to win this challenge. So if that next thing is putting the next foot in front of the other, then that's my goal.
Sure.
And
sure.
When I kill that goal, I focus on the next one, which is putting my other foot in front of the other.
That's right.
And you just make it through. And he was saying that their first challenge that most people dropped out of was running back and forth on a beach in California nonstop until the instructor said to stop. And it was at your own pace, but people would get in their heads and essentially fall out because they never knew when the end was. But for him, it was just, I'm jogging on a beach. The sun's hit me on my back. There's the waves. I'm just running.
And doing my thing.
And doing my thing, you know? So, anywho, back to...
And it has to come to an end sometime.
Absolutely.
Right? So, yeah, and that's what I think a lot of people don't realize is that no matter, you know, what they're going through or what their struggles are, it's going to come to an end. It's inevitable. It's going to come to an end. It's just a matter of when and if you can stick through it, you know.
That is very true.
Stick through it, so.
But yeah, I do want to preach that just like I've read and practiced is start anything with the end in sight.
Sure.
Always have your end goal and what you want to accomplish at the end going into whatever endeavor it is that you're going.
Agreed. And that's the term too, like you don't want to have too many irons in the fire, right? You've heard that term. So, you got to get stuff done. You got to focus on your goals. And it doesn't mean you can't have multiple irons, but you got to make sure you don't have too many where you're not getting one done.
Correct. That's exactly right. The book, The One Thing, you focus on the one thing, and then essentially you move on to the next once that one thing is completed or on autopilot, so to speak.
Sure. And that makes sense. It's true. It really is. So what next? What else do you want to know?
I wanted to dive deeper into your real estate career.
Okay.
Essentially, you started real estate very young. You've been in for 14 years now?
14 years, yes. I started really when I was 18. But if you want it in a nutshell, I gained most of because I was pretty shy as a kid.
I'd say Austin is still semi-shy.
Yeah, still semi-shy. I mean, it's not necessarily shy.
I'm confident. Just more too confident. You're more confident
to myself.
Correct.
You know, keep to myself. And I don't need it for it to
introvert.
Be. Yeah, I would say I'm a good mix of both, you know. But in general, I don't need my it's good for people to know what you do, right?
Agreed.
And that you do well, but I don't need to be out there all the time, you know.
Well, that's a topic that we can discuss is you grew your business essentially through word of mouth referrals, getting connected with the builders in San Antonio and leveraging that versus using social media as your platform, using technology, any of that stuff. I mean, you semi were old school in the way that you grew your business to what it is.
To an extent. I mean, so in a nutshell, right, like I said, Waited Tables, that's where I got a lot of my personability and my service drive from, you know, because, right, you're working for tips and you're people in the service industry, they more tip you on if they liked you over the service that you deserve. It is important, the service as well, but it's more your personality and how you make them feel, just like it is in sales. And I hate to say sales, even though that's kind of what it is, our job, it is sales, but I don't like to look at it as sales, like where I'm trying to push something over on someone that they may not want, because that's like where you get that.
Well, dirty. I mean, you taught me this, it was almost 9 years ago, 2012, what are we in, 2021, so 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first deals I ever did was with Austin, and I think the concept behind it was, do you think that they're going to really go through the transaction? And you said, Mark, the buyer has to be three things. They have to be ready, willing, and able.
Right? Those two things. I learned that from my dad.
Those things in your line of work and in my line of work, we're not forcing them to the table. We're not forcing them. I don't see it as sales. to a certain extent, it is still sales any way you look at it, putting yourself out there, getting the customer from A to B, accomplishing their goals, and then getting referral business and all that good stuff.
Sometimes they need a push. Sometimes they need a little bit of a push.
And I consider it education.
Sure.
In addition to solutions, mm-hmm. In addition to basically enlightenment.
That's the way I look at it. If you give someone the education and the knowledge, and then you let them make the decision and you give them the options, then they can never, I don't want to say never, but they'll rarely be mad at you if you prepare them and you tell them what can happen and this is how it works, and then they make the decision. If it goes south for them, at least you prepared them and you told them.
Right.
And that's what I teach our, you know, our agents or my agents is prepare.
You're huge on education just like I am. Yeah. So I totally agree with that. And you present your options and you also present the routes that they need to take in addition to your professional advice. Sure. And you're now able to do that from a standpoint that you've practiced what you preach as well. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Exactly. So, and I told them too, no one's going to hold your hand. I'm not going to go knock on your door in the morning and make sure you get out of bed and that you're going to go, you know, fill out your loan app.
Correct.
You know, you have to do things on your own. People aren't going to make you do it,
right.
You know, especially if you want this. And then the saying, anything worth having usually takes a lot of hard work and you got to sit good with it. But once you're done, right? Once you got your home, you got your home. And then
exactly
you,
right.
What about paying your mortgage and you're keeping up with your home, right? Your repairs and whatever else you need to do.
Absolutely.
On there. But once you got it, you got it. So just work through it until the end. And I tell people it's like a marathon. You know, this is not a sprint. You know, we're just crossing the starting line, and then we got to go all the way till the end. And it's not done until you have your keys and they have your money, unfortunately.
It's very true.
A lot can happen in between then, you know, so just know that. I think a lot of agents, they congratulate right off the get-go. I try and avoid doing that, even though I want to do that. But, you know, too many
until
times
you get
prior
those
have
keys.
I done that. Yeah, and then it falls apart, and, you know, you feel really bad about it. And even though it was out of your control, you know, sometimes that happens. So, yeah, I just, you know, you just try and put the right things in play. To make sure that happens. But back to it. So in a nutshell,
go ahead.
Wet tables, that's where I got it. I didn't really have a lot of drive to be anything better than what I was doing at that time, in all honesty. So had some.
And why was that? What to you? Because
I was comfortable.
You're comfortable. Okay.
I was comfortable.
Great.
Yeah. I was comfortable. Not that I was like being super taken care of or anything. It was just more that I was comfortable.
You didn't need much.
I didn't aspire to be more than what I was.
Well, I mean, I think giving perspective, this is probably one of the baddest wakeboarders, lake life liver that I've ever met in my life. And obviously, I enjoy the times that we've had growing up in addition to continuing to grow together. And I hope we continue to spend more time like that. But what he's going back to is back when you were 18, right?
Eight,
we had just gotten out of high school.
Yeah.
And essentially you were making money, not more than what you needed, but you also didn't need much.
I didn't need much. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have a family. I was living in an apartment, you know, with a roommate. Rent was like $600 a month.
Right.
Right. $300 a month. Right.
I think that's lived in the same apartment.
That's not too bad. I lived in a bunch of, you know, but yeah, that's not too bad, right? $300 a month. So I got to get by, and I was eating very making sandwiches and, you know, eating canned vegetables. And I mean, I was living, you know, just kind of normal teenage guy life.
Absolutely.
Really not trying to aspire to be much more.
Yeah,
and then I had some unfortunate events happen that we don't even need to go into detail, but just know I worked those. I could have one. That was a crossroads, right? Where one of two things could have happened. Either
very good.
I could have said, this is horrible, right? I can't believe this is happening to me. You know, this is, you know, whatever, most people don't have to go through this and it's way worse for me than it is for other people. Poor me. Instead of doing that, I either had a choice to do that or go, I'm going to show this person or these people up, because that's kind of what it was for me at the time. Cause some people did me wrong. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And it was nothing really bad.
I mean, without naming names, without going too far in depth, I want to, because
it was a bad relationship that I got out of.
I was going to say, the listeners are going, what the heck is he talking about?
It was
about?
A bad personal relationship that I got out of, like spouse relationship that I had gotten out of. And I was like, hey, I'm going to show this person up that she made a mistake, right?
Mm-hmm.
But whatever that they did to me, that they're going to regret doing that, because I'm going to show them that I can be better than I was, right? Not that I wanted to get back at them or be vindictive by any means at all. And then I just started doing it and going and going and going, and it kind of caught on like wildfire. And I'm sure you can attest to this, but you get to kind of a point where you end up going so fast that you almost feel bad when you don't work.
I agree.
You know,
I agree.
And you kind of feel bad when you when you're not being productive that day. And that's something that I had to learn, that it's also okay to stop. It's okay to relax. It's
and
okay
and
to
I've learned that. I still have my days where I feel that way. And with my schedule being so regimented,
you'll get there.
No. What I'm saying is I enjoy the time that I have to be unplugged.
Sure.
You know, I don't stress about what the things I need to do when I'm unplugged these days. Whereas before, I was either not unplugged, or when I was unplugged, technically I was thinking about what I needed to do next.
And
it was my time to gather my thoughts, so to speak. But now when I unplug with the family. Sure, like, for example, and this may sound bad to most, but I enjoyed the heck out of not having power.
No, it actually sounds good. Yeah, it's about right.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I had a valid reason as to why I could not access the things that I normally do.
Yep.
So everything was just on pause, and that was okay with me.
Well, in our job, I think, you know, where people are so used to us being available all the time and expect us to be available all the time. But I think, you know, we also got to keep our boundaries that we have for families and we have our personal life. And not that you're not there for them and that you don't go above and beyond for them. But, you know, there's other people in your life that also need your time and, you know, your love and whatever else that you provide, that good stuff that you put out there that they deserve as well. You know, that it's not right to neglect those people that time, even if it's your dog, you know, and you're working and not taking your dog for a walk. You know, you had a responsibility when you got that pet to take care of it, right? Right. So just like with anything. So
that being said, let's transition into sacrifice. And the reason why I say that is because I know personally, just like I have in the beginning of our career, when we finally realized, oh, shoot, we actually have something here. Do we continue or do we just kind of let it ride, so to speak, or seize the moments that we're having? What all were you sacrificing at that time? I mean, I know what I sacrificed, but I also have a
lot.
Yeah.
Sleep, right?
Yeah. So take us back to that. Back to then when you – let's talk about 2012, 2013, 2014. Mm-hmm. I mean
– So, you know, and I can honestly – I have to say, I can honestly attribute my success today to a couple things.
Okay.
The first one, above all, and we don't have to go too much into religion, but would be God by far, right? So that is what set me on the right path. And I'm a firm believer that you need some kind of faith in your life, some higher power above you.
Yeah.
One of the key things to be happy in life. And that may
complete,
not be for
whole. Yeah.
Yeah, that may not be for everyone, but for me it is. So that would be number one. Second would be my dad, right? Because how much he was able to teach me. I couldn't ask for like a better mentor.
Sure.
Someone with that much experience to teach me what I needed to know. Now, he also put me in touch with the right people and taught me the right things and helped me make the right connections, as like people like you did as well. You know, we all helped each other grow to get me where I'm at today, and then I just took the reins from there. And then on top of that, the influential people that he put me in contact with, and I don't want to name specific names, but you guys know who you are, the real reason why I am who I am today. And not just that, I mean, I had so much support system from the other side, my mother and my brother, my sister and my, you know, my overall family, they're all there to support me, you know, so it's a good support system.
And I think you're missing one super, super important person in that.
Mark?
You.
Me? That's true.
Yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to talk about is the hard work, the hours of sleep that you lost, the missing out on the things that we were both missing out on at the time. Hey, let's go to the lake. Let's do this. Let's do that. And essentially, we couldn't always be in attendance at the things that we wanted to do at that time. But we knew that by missing those things temporarily –
that is going to pay off in the long run.
There you go.
That is going to pay off in the long run.
Yeah.
So I think, like, at the start of my business, I was kind of on cruise control, right? Because I didn't know a lot, and I was still very timid, and I didn't know how to talk to people as far as real estate goes, because I just didn't know my stuff, right? So that's another thing I have to tell all the new agents out there is knowledge is power in this business, and the more you know, the more successful that you'll be. It'll keep you out of trouble. It'll also help you better serve your clients. So if you really take the time to know the business, and not just your business, the other aspects of the business, whether it's title or mortgage as well, you'll really excel, succeed in this business. So about my third year in is when it was just like full force all ahead. And the things I sacrifice, sleep, right? Because you're always thinking about the problems, your clients, what you have to do tomorrow, putting stuff in your calendar. The other things that it would be is health, big time.
Huge.
Right?
Huge.
I would literally go the full day without eating because there was too much to do. I couldn't even stop, right? So, which is not healthy. So you shouldn't be doing that
right.
stuff. Right, there should always be time for to stop for you, not going to the gym, whatever it may be, not doing my outdoor sports activities that keep me healthy, you know. So, and then on top of that, there's, you know, physical health, and there's mental health, too, that you got to look
Huge.
At, too.
Yeah,
so
I
if
agree.
You're buried in your work, a lot of times you don't have mental health. And I can tell you in all honesty, and this is a bold thing to say on this, but I've been the least happy when I was making the most money.
Wow. Yeah, no, and that's powerful.
Okay,
that's powerful. So. And I would not, to the viewers, I would not, and only because I know you personally, I would not say that that is the same for every industry, every entrepreneur, every profession.
It's because I didn't know how to manage it.
And I think that has a lot to do with what you were feeling at that time. I agree 100%. Yeah. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, I didn't have the support, or not the support, I didn't have the structure in place to manage it properly to where I wasn't overburdening myself. And I was doing it to myself because I don't want to say perfectionist. I'm more if you want something done right, do it yourself kind of guy. But that's not really how this works if you plan to grow, right?
Correct.
In a business, you got to learn to delegate. And then, honestly, on top of that, you're pouring into other people and you're helping other people grow.
Absolutely. And I remember the conversation we had. You had called me one day and you said, hey, how do you do it? How are you able to do it? And my answer to you was, I'm still working on it.
Yeah, still working on it. And you delegate well. Yeah. And you delegate well.
And that has, I think, when you say that your father helped you, he did. He gave you the backbone of it. But at a certain point in time, it was Austin Pantuso that was going through the failures and going through the expansion growth pains of what next? How do I delegate this? And then if I can't delegate it, then I'm going to be doing it all.
Yeah,
and that's at the point in time where you were losing sleep, losing food, everything.
And he connect me. Well, he connect me with builders and stuff. And I remember, I was so involved and so passionate about it and doing it, fairly well that they were giving me neighborhoods to cover myself as a realtor and like sell their neighborhoods, you know,
right.
Which is a really big privilege that I was blessed with to do that. But I remember I worked 37 days in a row one time from 9 to 7 p.m., 37 days in a row, no break.
Yeah.
And I was really tired and feeling myself, but, you know, I did really well. And it paved the way for me today. But do I recommend doing that? No. But I did put in my time. You know, I definitely.
And I think that there is no other way, in my opinion. I mean, you're saying you don't recommend it, but at the same time, you are where you are now, and you've gone through the lumps of learning and now have the wisdom and are still learning from every day and what you're doing. But for those listening, in order to get to the next level, unless you're inventing something, and even still, that's mad hours. You've got to put in the work, and you can be a little bit more understanding of, hey, those guys talking about losing sleep, this and that. I'll be a little bit more deliberate in delegating sooner or setting boundaries for myself. I recommend that all day long. Learn from our mistakes or like I call them landmines, but there is no other way. There's no silver bullet, no perfect pill, nothing like that.
No substitute for hard work.
There is
no substitute for hard work. Yeah, you got to work hard. Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, yeah, like I said, you got to do more than the next person. You don't have to be the best unless you want to try and be the best.
Right.
So, and you can kill yourself trying to be the best.
I agree.
So I think you got to find whatever level you want to be at. And it's okay if other people don't want to be the best too. That's another thing I tell our agents because, you know, I think a lot of companies, and even us at the start, when you recruit people, you're like, you know, you're going to do this and that, and you're going to be the top of the top out there. And some people don't want to be the top of the top, and that's okay, you know. So you want to help them grow into whatever they want to be that makes them happy.
Absolutely. So. And that is a tough thing as a coach and mentor is hearing folks that say they want to be somewhere and then looking and observing and gauging the activities that they're doing and the activities don't say what their mouth is saying.
Sure.
So it's you've got to be honest with yourself first in knowing what you want, where you want to get to before you can seek out the advice from others to get to that place. Reason why I say that is the person giving you the advice is going to always assume that you're taking it at face value. You want to get here? Okay, great. I'm going to show you how to get there. Don't waste their time if you don't really want to get there, okay? It's okay to not be the top.
Sure.
It's totally fine.
Right? And it doesn't mean us as mentors would give up on you either.
No, not at all.
We just help you
realize.
Yeah, realize and be whatever we see.
We'll call you on your BS.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, you saying you want to be here, but you're doing this. So unless these change, you need to change your goal type situation.
Sure.
Be it more realistic. A goal is supposed to be obtained. A goal does not need to be astronomical. I mean, who said that? My goal is going to be getting to this point, not to that point. Well, get to that point, and then set your next goal.
Well, you do your short-term and your long-term.
Absolutely.
Right? So, and like we talked about, little bites is what you got to do to get where you want to be.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I told you this, but you've seen TED Talks, right?
Oh, yeah.
You've seen TED Talks.
Oh, yeah.
They're really good. Some of them are obviously they're off on different things, but there was this
one on aliens.
Oh, cool. Well, hey, I'll have to check out, send me some of those. I'll look at some of those. But anyways, there's this guy, and he's like a Harvard professor. I don't know if you've seen this one, and they did this study over something like 80 years. Don't quote me exactly the facts, but you can look
it up.
But it's over 80 years and of like 200 men. And over their lifetime from all different walks of life, they all went to Harvard, but they did studies on what makes us fulfilled and what makes us happy, right?
Okay.
And I guess throughout this time, different professors have picked up this study, right? Because most of the time they fall off or they lose funding or whatever
it may
be, but it's actually still going, which is pretty awesome. And now they're doing like their wives and their kids and things like that. But what the overall conclusion was, it didn't matter who you knew, what you had, how much money you made, what the true, I guess the true thing that made most people happy was their connections with their family, friends, and community. That personal connection is what they determine.
And that's over 200 years.
That's what brings happiness,
wow,
according to this group of people, right?
Right.
Which is a pretty big group. But, their involvement with their community, and those connections that they have, those personal connections.
Sure.
So that's at least what they determine. And I'm starting to kind of realize that now.
I think it's tougher for you, for me, to not necessarily side with that, because that is probably true. But it's hard to get that conceptually in my mind. It's hard to get to that place if I'm constantly struggling.
Sure.
If I'm constantly worrying about having to pay bills.
I agree.
If I'm constantly worrying about where my next meal is going to come from. I think putting in the work in any industry at least gets you away from paycheck to paycheck. Because I remember what it was like to be paycheck to paycheck.
Sure.
And
one
thing that I said to myself, I will not live like this forever.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't ever want to be paycheck to paycheck again. And that was years ago, but it was absolutely one of my goals that started the machine.
And I think that's probably one of the biggest fears for most men and family men is, hey, I don't want to be able to support, I want to be able to support my family.
Sure.
If I can't support my family, that's my biggest fear. I don't know. You, like you said, you went to Africa, right? That's what you were saying.
Yeah,
I saw your post, right?
South Africa.
When everyone was losing everything, their power and their water, right? And everyone's complaining about everything. And don't get me wrong, we feel for those people. It was a bad situation, but those people, right, in other areas, they have much less, and they're still very happy people.
Absolutely. So, and let me give you guys some perspective in this narrative. We live in Texas. The podcast is out of San Antonio, Texas. And about a week and a half ago, we had a massive power outage on top of a water shortage. I mean, we did not have water or power in my household for 4 days, and both water and power.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the amount of, complaints, being that we're a social media world, phone was the only thing that was working, was absurd. I was totally baffled and disappointed in the masses. I totally get that it's tragic, but at the same time, we are still humans and we are still capable.
Yeah.
And what do I mean by capable is if you've got a family, your first instinct should be, let me take care of my family.
Sure.
Do you need power for that? No. I mean, at the end of the day, burn some damn wood, right?
Do what you
have to do in order to make it to the next day. And then the next day after that, in water, you've got to go and get it and boil it and do what you need to do in order to drink it. But other than that, you know, how bad is it getting cold in the house? Well, go put on more layers.
Yeah, more layers,
you know?
Blankets. Now, there were some circumstances with people, right?
Where, I mean, especially those with medications, those on machines.
Yeah, machines, things like that. Those are different.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about those situations. And even if you are lumping those into there.
We're talking about the average bear.
Well, I won't even talk about the average bear. Let's bring those in as well. If that is the case, somebody that knows them and it'll shrink the people that this doesn't apply to. Someone that knows them needs to be humane and go check on them. And then if they can't fulfill, then go and get help.
Yeah. Right? I agree. And back them up.
It's not impossible, but what I think social media does and the echo chambers is it allows people to complain and stay behind their whatever to not do anything about it.
Sure.
And
sure.
The true answer is, do something about it.
And
why?
There was a lot of people who did, which is great.
Absolutely. Great. Yeah. And it's faith in humanity.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Because going back to a South Africa trip that we had taken, I'm working next to a guy that's got his church shoes on, and that's all he has.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They don't have running water. They don't have electricity. But he's grinning from ear to ear and making jokes with me, showing me his social media.
Yeah.
We don't have it as bad as you think, and I don't care who you are, you don't have it as bad as you think. There's always someone that has it worse. Now, how can you help others? That's what I typically go to, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree with everything that you just said. No, I mean, I really do, yeah. And I think what happened helped people put things into perspective.
Yeah.
We got power and water today. This is awesome, you know?
Absolutely.
So this is great.
Be grateful for it. Instead of taking it for granted.
Yeah.
And I think we do tend to take a lot of things for granted.
Yep.
As a given. This is supposed to be done for me. Why are you counting on the government to make sure that you have these things, you know?
And that goes to taking initiative. And I think our generation doesn't realize how good we have it. And that's what I started out with, right?
Yeah.
With realtors, how good we have it right now.
Sure.
You know, and how hard it was for the guys before us. It just, unless you were there, you really don't know. So sometimes it's good to be there sometimes
that's true.
You do know.
Gives you perspective.
Yep. Yeah.
Change of pace, change of place. It'll give you a change of perspective.
Mm-hmm. That's why it's good to travel and get outside your element, you know, even if it's just a little ways away. You got to see how other people live sometimes and how good you got it.
So question, kind of transition back. Why'd you get into real estate? Was it, obviously you had mentioned the beef with the ex and the proving of that person wrong, proving yourself right, but was it for the money or was it to help people?
The honest truth is it was more of a fallback because my dad was doing it, right?
Sure.
So I had at least some direction to go where with almost everything else, I didn't really have a lot of direction. And even then when I got in real estate, I still didn't have a lot of direction because like I said, no one's going to make you wake up and do it. You got to have
yourself employed. Absolutely.
You're completely self-employed. It's all on you, right? So you got to get up every day and choose what you're going to do to be successful, right? Whatever it may be. So, I still didn't. So I would say it was to do something different than what I was doing by no means. And I was still doing both at the same time, right? So, but it was to do something different and see just how it went. And it didn't go too well. I remember telling my dad, I was telling him, I don't think this is a business for me. How am I supposed to survive off of this?
Yeah.
You know, what I'm making. And his response to me, like, you know, any normal person would be like, you know, you got to stick in there, Austin. You can do it. You know, you're a rock star yourself.
Get out.
And he's like, yeah, you're right, Austin. This may not be the business for you. That was his response to me.
I remember,
you know, that's what he says to me, you know, which is probably what I needed to hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. He goes, yeah, you're very well right. It might not be for you. You know, maybe you should get out, you know. And I love that, you know, instead of just your normal cliche. And that kind of made me also be like, nah, I'm going to show you.
I'm going to show you now.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. That, I can do it, you know.
And I do not disagree or am against. I'm not against having someone, something, some group that you're trying to prove wrong. A lot of people say, well, you're supposed to try and prove yourself right. Well, sometimes you believe in yourself through way of proving someone else wrong.
Because
you already know you believe in yourself and what you can do. Now this gives you that fuel to push further than what you thought you could originally.
And to that, I think that if you don't want to do it, you're not going to do it. That's all there is to it. So it doesn't matter really what anyone says to you.
Yeah.
And it's just like going back to certain things like self-confidence in yourself, especially with women these days and how beautiful they can be, but they still feel like they're not pretty,
sure,
right,
sure,
by any means. I really have to say that only can come from within. It can't come from any external source elsewhere. All of this stuff has to come from within and from yourself. You can't look for that external validation because it's just not going to be what you need to really get what you're trying to get out of your success or where you're trying to go. It has to come from yourself.
I'll agree with that.
So with that being said, yeah, I mean, and that's another thing these days. I think millennials ourselves, we kind of do maybe, right, you got your participation trophies and everything else. And I hate to knock that, you know, because I was in YMCA. I got my participation trophy.
But it's okay to bring that up because that is one of the things that we get depicted with, which is they grew up in participation trophy era.
Yeah.
Well, technically, we didn't. Participation trophy started back in like 19-something. It was a long time ago, and I've done the research. I just can't regurgitate it at the moment. But look it up, guys. Where did participation trophy start? It's been a generational thing that's been passed down and passed down, and it's almost as like a metaphor to being a candy ass. I don't know, you know?
I mean, let's be honest. There's going to be people better than you.
Yeah.
They're going to do better than you. There's always going to be someone better than you. Very rarely are you going to be the best, and that's okay. You know, you just got to be the best that you can be.
That is true.
You know, to usually do well.
My stance on it, I actually have a brass number 2. I don't know if you've ever seen it before.
I have.
It sits on my desk, and it's been there for 8 years, and it's a reminder that there is someone better than me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For me, it helps me drive to continue to push forward. No matter how good I get, it does not matter. There's going to be somebody better.
There is. And that's okay. That's an all right thing. You know, it's
gives me something to chase.
Yeah. It gives you something to chase. And it's good to have a competitive nature and to an extent, as long as it doesn't get unhealthy. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, again, I think with our generation, we may be take it too easy on our kids, both of us being fathers, maybe not you, but me sometimes, you know, where you know there's maybe not enough tough love is important.
Oh, I agree.
I think it's really important. You got to have tough love.
I really don't sugarcoat anything with my kids.
And that's a good thing.
I raised them not as transparently as my parents, but Kristen and I are both pretty transparent about just about everything with them because we want them to know. I mean, I would hate for my kid to be the one that is unaware of what's going on. Because I'm trying to shield them from the world.
Sure.
The world's there regardless.
It's going to be there, yeah, no matter what. And I think, you know, as parents, whether you give too much tough love or not enough, I think that all it really comes down to is all you can do is pray that your kid's going to turn out okay.
Yeah.
You just don't – there's no guarantees. You don't know who they're going to acquaint themselves with or what car they're going to get in with the drunk driver or whatever it may be.
And we don't know that
you
yet.
You know,
we haven't gone through that yet.
Yeah,
our kids are both still small.
So all you can do is pray that they're going to be okay and that they're going to grow up to be the best, you know, kids that they can possibly be or the best adults that they can be because there's no guarantees. And you do your best as a parent and just know that sometimes even if it doesn't turn out that way, that it doesn't mean it's your fault as a parent all the time.
I agree with that.
So,
absolutely.
That's just how it is. You know, any one of us could have gone a completely different route. A lot of our friends who we thought were going to be the most successful people out there
didn't end up being,
and then vice versa, the other way too.
Agreed.
You know? So
both you and I are an example of that.
Perfect example. Yeah. People you would never expect, and then like we got a lot of good friends right now that are doing very, very well that you just wouldn't expect, and it doesn't mean just financially in many aspects of their life.
Sure.
So
real quick, I wanted to bring it back a little bit. We were talking about getting into the industry for money over helping people and
it's always
you got
about
it. Yeah. You got into the industry basically as a coincidence, as like convenience, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with the folks out there. Austin is one of the top and best at what he does. He's certified Mark Jones stamp on him for sure. Best at what he does. And the reason being is, he, unlike a lot of most, and I'll be honest, I got into the industry that I'm in for the money, and then it shifted. Absolutely. It shifted to helping as many people as I could. And then realized, oh my gosh, as I'm helping more people, I'm actually making more money, but then I'm taking that money and giving it back in many different ways. But for you, your path was a little bit faster than most in regards to the passion and finding out that helping people is where it's at.
Yeah, I would say the honest reason why, though, is because you got to figure, like, people getting in now, most of them have families. They have big responsibilities and obligations and bills. I was blessed enough to get in at a young age, so I didn't have those bills where I was not concerned about money. It might be different now if I were getting in right now, right, where I have, you know, big bills to pay and family to feed, you know.
That makes sense.
But, yeah, I was – I mean, my bills are like $800 a month or something, right?
Yeah.
So that's not too bad. Like, I can make that waiting table. So it was more about – just the excitement and the passion of helping people achieve their goals of homeownership or selling their home, whatever it may be at that time. And I really enjoyed it. It was like hitting a home run, you know, what I'm saying is just really, and then the new experiences and learning as you're going through it, it was very, very enjoyable. And I think that also resonates with people and they see that, right? Mm-hmm. And that makes their experience with you more enjoyable as well.
You know,
so, and then they send you referrals and they want to come back to you. And because of that passion, that fire that you have in you. So you don't want to lose that fire, right? So you
got
to keep it. And that can happen when you get too busy and you don't delegate, you can lose your fire because you get burnt out. And that's another thing that if we don't talk about it here, you should have one time is burnout. I mean, that's a big deal.
Oh my goodness, yes.
You know, especially in this fast paced market and how hot it is today.
Yeah.
It's easy to get burnt out. You got to pace yourself. And those are the ones who last in these kind of businesses, are the ones who pace themselves, you know, most of the time.
It's very true.
Or they set up some structure or system to pace
I can remember going back to the first couple of years, and you and I both would call each other towards the end of the year, August, September, October, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, you burnt out yet? No, not yet. I got a little bit more in me. How about you? I got a little bit more. And then by December, we're like, man. We're done.
Yeah.
Gosh,
yeah.
I can't do anymore. And then, boom, all of a sudden, it starts over.
Yeah, starts over the next year, right?
Like it's there.
And I mean, we were doing it from the beginning of the year, but yeah, I mean, you definitely have to pace yourself, or you will get burnt out and you'll lose that passion. And then people see it too, you know.
Sure.
They want to make sure that they're around people who are positive.
So I want to transition into, I guess, showing from somebody that's done it before, taking the money that you've hard worked for and leveraging that over to beginning something residual for yourself. Obviously you're an investor as well. So one, what made you jump into purchasing investment properties? And two, was it everything you thought it would be?
Yeah. Cause my dad had investment properties.
Okay.
He had rentals. So, and you got to figure, like, in our business, there is no retirement. So we got to set up something, and I want my kids to have something right when I'm either gone or they're going through college or they need their car or whatever it may be.
Right.
Now, by no means do I want them to be, you know, fully taken care of. I want them to make their own way, just like I had to do as well.
Because
if not, they're not going to learn.
Right.
But in general, I want them to have the necessities that they need, or me to be able to provide those for them, or help out if I need to, you know. So I had to set something in place. So I did rental properties is what I did, you know. And people are doing it all different ways these days, you know. They're flipping
the
building.
For you, you don't focus on properties with a bunch of equity. You don't focus on properties that are paying this astronomical cash flow. It's more about the acquisition and acquiring them and building.
It's a buy and hold. It's a long game, more of a steady growth. It's not, you know, and people can correct me if I'm wrong, but in my opinion, in San Antonio, flipping is not the easiest.
Agreed.
It's just we don't have those big margins like you do in other cities like New York or California, or, you know, being a state, California.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm just saying in general, we don't have those huge margins where you can go buy maybe a condo for $100K and flip it for $500K when it's all super, super nice.
Correct.
You know, it just doesn't really work like that here. And from what I've seen with flippers is, you know, they're putting $50K into $100K and they're hoping to get 100 to 200 out, or sorry, 10K to 20K out of it.
Correct.
You know,
and that's what you see mostly. I mean, for example, Kristen and I are actually flipping two properties right now.
Okay.
But the margins in them were great enough for us to take that risk to do so.
Sure.
I mean, the work that needed to be done had enough room upwards in order to still make a good profit on those properties, right? But early on in our investment career, we were just acquiring properties and having the tenants pay them off a much faster rate than what we would have.
Sure.
We were not focusing, and this is something that it doesn't bother me, but it is a chance for me to educate the customer because I have a lot of millennials that want to start investing.
Yes.
And
yes.
Their first thing, because they heard it somewhere, cash flow. What will my cash flow be? And it's like, really, you should be using that cash flow to, one, pad a reserve account for moments.
Exactly.
And
right.
Number two, to throw it all back towards the principal.
Yep.
Why?
Yep.
Because at the end of the day, you're paying off a mortgage that somebody else is paying for you.
That's correct.
You're building equity at right now, what, 5-6% mm-hmm. year over mm-hmm. year? It's mm-hmm. ridiculous. So if you're young and looking to get into investments, definitely speak to a professional, but don't focus so much on getting the great deal. It's a long game, not a short game. You're utilizing and leveraging someone else's money in order to build your long-term wealth eventually. And I'll actually be coming out with a millennial hack in regards to utilizing your primary to grow your wealth in regards to property investing. So,
and right now money's so cheap, right?
That is very true.
It's incredibly cheap.
Rates are going up, but people are, oh my God, they're going up. They're going up from nothing, guys. They weren't anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost, you know, you're almost at inflation.
Correct.
You know, rates, it's insane, you know.
That's true.
Inflation is like right at the cusp of what rates are for some people right now. So it's just crazy. It doesn't really even make sense for loan companies to be loaning money. It kind of blows my mind. They're barely, you know, making anything, except when they're getting it for free. It's a little different, right?
Yeah. But no, you're right.
In general, I'm just saying it just doesn't make a lot of sense. But for a buyer, right, who can get money for almost next to nothing, it makes a lot of sense for an investor.
Absolutely.
I think another thing too is that, I mean, you can do it all different ways. You know, you can do short term, but then, you know, like on flips, you have capital gains,
capital,
right? You have
absolutely.
Other things that you have to factor in.
And there's also other things that other drivers that you can put it in to avoid taxation and things of that nature. And those are going to be some of the mini-sodes, I think that's how you say it, mini-sodes, that I'm going to be shooting and putting out there as we're continuing, because this has been a great success. I mean, really, I've had honestly, I did this for me. I set a goal. It took a year for us to get to this point, and once I started having these conversations that you and I have had them
a lot
for years.
A
we've
lot.
Had these conversations, but I think it's I'm not saying it's a waste because we both learn from them growing.
Sure.
But if others can't hear what we're saying and we can maybe change one life by hearing something, and it could be one nugget that we're getting out that somebody takes, implements in their life, and it changes the course forever. That does something for me.
And I agree. And you're actually putting, like, I just tell people, you put good stuff out there and usually it comes right back to you.
Right?
So karma, whatever you want to call it, you try and put good stuff out there. You know, a lot of people say pour into other people, but try and be positive and help others. You know, it will come back.
Absolutely.
And another thing I have to say to, you know, millennials trying to grow their business or be the best that they can be, you know, and be very successful. The honest truth is, me and Mark, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we're no better than you guys in the honest truth. We just work maybe a little bit harder right now, but you can work just as hard as us, if not harder.
That's very true.
And be even better than
Here's something that there's I think three things, and I'm going to put them here so that I don't forget about them. Boom, boom, boom. Okay. First thing, Austin, did you graduate from college?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah, community college. Yeah.
So okay, so not a four-year degree?
No.
Okay,
yeah,
nor did I.
By no means, yeah.
Guys, this is the first episode where we have both the host and the guest that did not finish college. That was one thing that I started and did not finish. And honestly, that is probably the only thing I started and never finished.
Yeah. I didn't go through my full – and honestly, like, you know, it's really sad because a lot of the millennials right now who do have – educations and degrees.
Sure.
You know, we are just as successful in doing, you know, really, really well without having to do that. And they're loaded down with debt.
With debt.
Right? With debt from,
I have no student
loans. Yeah. And it's just a sad system that is in play right now. It's kind of a vicious cycle. And how I hear stories of people paying them for 8 years and they owe more.
Absolutely.
You know, than what they originally came out with. Yeah,
exactly
compounding interest over. You know, that's just crazy that the government hasn't done something more about that.
Being the millennial that you are, and I wanted to wrap it up, but that's a great – so being the millennial that you are, if the government came in – and this is a hot topic. I don't want it to be political. Hot topic. If the government came in and paid off everybody's student loans.
Okay.
Is that a good or a bad thing?
I think it would be a little bit of both. I don't think all of them.
I'll agree with that.
I don't think it should all be paid off. I think they should help structure a system where it would end up going, where the balance would go down on a quicker basis.
Maybe based on an achievement. Some kind of milestone, something that gauges you're putting in work to at least attempt to pay off what you signed up for.
When you maybe get something in that degree, and this is just shooting something out there, but in that degree or in that field, maybe when you hold the job for a year, they knock off so much or something, or you know, in that field, or 2 years or something, and you can provide two.
Well, I mean, you talk about people going to school, but I've seen it so many times that people's profession is going to school.
Yeah,
it's like you've got $300,000 in student loans. Yeah. Like, at what point are you going to
pay that off?
Not only pay it off, but work towards something else. Like, there's only so much you can, I guess, get accolades to learn for, because the knowledge, in my opinion, is out there. It's just sifting through what's right, what's wrong based on your decision. So it's just one of those things like, okay, it's time to get out there and attempt something and fail at it.
I think what you're seeing is a lot of trade. You're going to school for a trade now, usually, is what you're seeing, right? And that's usually maybe would get you a little farther. It's not as expensive.
I agree, 100%.
You know, that's what you're seeing now.
You want a business degree? Go start a business.
Yeah, you're getting rich. And I was reading, you know, back to statistics, I think it was something like by 2050, 50% of Americans will be self-employed. Is what they're saying.
I agree.
You know,
with
running
that.
Their own business.
I mean, looking back,
it just works so well, and you have it. I mean, think about the self-employment explosion that's happened over the past 10 years.
America was founded on that principle.
It was. It really was.
Really?
Yeah. And it's everyone supporting everyone, right? That's how
correct.
It works, right? You support everyone
by
having your own business. So, and it works pretty well instead of, you know, your normal trickle down
effect,
right? That's Reaganomics, and you go into that, and that was like his whole idea was, hey, if we help these massive guys who are paving the way for everyone, you know, make more money, then everyone else will make more money. But I don't know if that's necessarily the case.
No.
I think they keep a lot of that money.
I agree.
You know,
coming to find out now.
Yeah, coming to find out now. Yeah, and that doesn't mean it's the case with everyone, but I think when everyone is helping support everyone, it just works as a better system. Now, there's a lot of caveats to that and a lot of details in that are way above my pay grade.
And the devils are always in the details.
Yeah, so I can't comment on.
I guess I'll go with this question. If there are potential prospects to becoming in the real estate business as a realtor, listening and tuning in, what advice would you give to them right now?
It would be genuine. Put your clients first, always, no matter what. It's their life, their money, their family, their investment. A lot of the things that I'm saying right now, my agents and my clients and the people that I talk to, it's going to sound cliche because they've heard it over and over and over again. But it's true. If you always put them above you, which is what you should be doing anyways, right? It's your fiduciary duty.
Absolutely.
You will really never go wrong. And it is because it is about them. These are the guys, this is the biggest investment that most of these people are making their entire lives. And you can literally ruin a family. You can ruin their life if you don't take care of them properly and you don't do the right things for them. Or you put an ulterior motive into play, right? So it's your ethics. You know, that's one thing you want to do. Put them first, always, your clients. Set boundaries for yourself. Set goals for yourself, all right? Figure out where you want to be at a certain time frame, a certain stage in your life. And then I would say the last thing that I would say is just have fun with it. You know, really enjoy yourself when you're doing it, because if you're not enjoying it, it's going to show. Right. And other people are going to see it and you're probably not going to do well. So get into a field that you do like, or if you ended up liking it at the start and you don't like it now, find something to get you back to where you were. So, you know, whatever.
I like that. That's great advice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to wrap this up. Austin, thank you so very much for joining us.
Welcome,
I think
brother.
This is going to turn out to be an excellent episode.
Cool.
For those of you listening, if you like the content and like what you hear, our goal is to grow this thing organically as much as possible. So please like, share, comment, and let somebody know that may benefit from this. Thanks for tuning in to Millennial Market Talk.